So the scripture today is from Mark. It's chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house, and he did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat at the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So I've named this "Jesus Heals the World." And so when I start this every month to pick out the scriptures, there's four for each day I can go through. And sometimes, so you were talking about easy days and hard days, TJ. So sometimes I'll read one and I go, like this one, I have such a hard time understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us here. Does anyone else go, "Oh yeah, I get this one, it's clearly..." Did anybody do that when we read this? Okay. And so sometimes when I'm reading, I go, gosh, I never have understood that. What's my other choices? And sometimes I think, well, you know what? This must be up because I don't really understand it. So apparently I'm supposed to study this one for the next couple weeks. So that this one falls into that category. I decided it's time to study it and see if I can finally understand it. I think I do to some degree, but if you disagree with me on this, you could be right, okay? So let's kind of start with the background here. So Jesus has left the is what we would consider the Israel area where the Jewish people are, and so now he's in Gentile territory. And so last week when we talked about it was okay to eat unclean food because everything that God did was good, now he's really moved on to people. So from a Jewish point of view, they did not really associate with anyone that wasn't Jewish, Gentiles, us. Unless there's a Jewish person in here today, we're a Gentile, and so the Jews in general wouldn't have associated with us because they didn't think we were good enough, for lack of a better reason. Now, this area that he's in now was originally given to the tribe of Asher, but they were never able to gain control of it. It always stayed pretty kind of a mixed area between Jewish and Gentiles. And what he's showing here is that through God's word, you can take this area religiously, where the tribe of Asher, when they were there, they tried to take it sort of politically, militarily, and it didn't work. And so that's part of what this is, that you can't do with force what you can really do with love. And if you've ever had, so we were around all three grandchildren on Friday night, took them to a baseball game. And who would think that between a six-year-old, a three-year-old, and two-year-old that we would have crying at a baseball game, but we did, okay? And no amount of trying to convince whoever it was at the time that everything was okay if they weren't with the person they thought they should be with, we had some crying. And so the love that we tried to show all three, because we knew this was going to be hard when we started. When we thought of this idea, we knew it was going to be hard, that if we loved them enough, we would get through the night. And we didn't lose any grandkids, and we made it through the night. And nobody got hit with a baseball. It was all win-win, okay? So just like here, where Jesus is showing that love can conquer all, it worked for us at the baseball game with the grandkids. So he's having this conversation with this Gentile woman, and if you try to read it for what they're saying, that's kind of not what's going on here. Think of it more as an inside joke, that they're telling each other a story. Each of them know what they're saying, but if you're just listening to it from the outside, you may not know what's going on. So when I said earlier today about the cabbage, right? You guys are going, he has completely lost his mind. I was at a funeral yesterday, and the person who passed away said that you could tell if someone was telling a story if you made them, after you called them out and said that couldn't possibly be true, if they could say cabbage, and not smile, then you knew it was true. And the son was talking about his father, and he said, yeah, anytime he caught me in a big one and I tried to do cabbage, and I was smiling before the last one, he had me out. That's kind of what's going on here. They know what they're saying between them, but if you're just looking in on it, it's a little hard to understand. When we think of dogs, we think of pets. Okay, how many of we have dogs here today? Yeah, I'm a cat person, we never had dogs, but we have dogs. Dogs back in then were much more wild. You just didn't have a dog in your house that was like a pet. And so you have to keep that in mind when you're talking about this. So what they're really talking about is the Jewish people had the first opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And the majority of them said no. They didn't believe. What Jesus is telling this Gentile woman is, even though the Jewish people were first, now it's open to the whole world. And so we as a congregation, as Gentiles, now we can accept Jesus Christ, and he wants to make sure the whole world knows that. So he first started, if you think about this, he first started in Israel, what we would call Israel now, to get the Jewish people to believe, and he was basically moved on. They just didn't follow. And now he's in Gentile country, which the Jewish people would have thought, well, no, they don't understand anything at all. They couldn't possibly get this right. And the lady says, I understand. I accept. And so it's this acceptance of Jesus as being a Gentile, at the same time acknowledging that the Jewish community rejected. Now the man in the hearing, mute. So how many of you ever have either read the Helen Keller book or saw the movie? Okay, so if you remember when she's trying to get the, what's the girl's name?
Annie.
When she's trying to get Annie to be able to speak, the problem is if you don't hear, it's very hard for you to learn how to speak. And so the reason this guy can't speak is because he's never been able to hear his whole entire life. Now, I've always thought this was kind of confusing because I didn't get what all this stuff was he was doing. Was that part of what he did to make him be able to hear? And when I was reading different commentaries this week, they all agreed on this one point. It was not part of the process of making him hear. It was so that the deaf-mute man could understand what Jesus was going to do. Because he couldn't hear him, and he couldn't read lips, he couldn't understand. So if you go back and read that and think about the actions he's doing, he's really explaining to that guy what's going to happen and how he's going to do it. And so it's this consideration for us. What we learn is he didn't just do it out in public for everyone to see and hear what was going on. He kind of took him off to the side and acted this out so that the man would know what he was going to do. And he showed it out in the hand gestures and with his eye and with everything he did. Well, what we learn from this is we have this healing that Jesus can provide to us when this man couldn't hear or speak, but it's for all of us. It's a learning for all of us to know that God through Jesus is capable of healing all of us and providing comfort to us. Now the question is, are we open to accepting it and do we recognize it? Because sometimes we don't recognize what's going on. And I've been all day trying to remember something, but it just came to me. So lucky for you guys, I remember. So I read this morning, because I've been working all day on how I was going to work this in here, and it just came to me. In this morning, there's an article about this guy from Michigan who writes every Sunday, and I read him because I find him pretty interesting. What he's doing is he's telling this story about he has a friend who's decided sometime in the past that because this happened and this happened, God was directing her to do this, this, and this. Whatever it was. He doesn't really give us the details. But when she gets to the end, it didn't turn out the way she thought it was going to. How many of us have ever had that happen before? Doesn't turn out the way we think it's going to happen. It doesn't mean that God wasn't involved, and it doesn't mean that God wasn't leading us to what we thought God was leading us to. But the problem is, we already predetermined what we thought the answer should be and the time it should be in. And a lot of times, we could have been right on all that, but we're wrong on the time because we don't see how this is going to finish out. We think we're going to see it finish out the way we want it to finish out. What this is saying is, although we may be healed, either from, in this case, the guy was blind and deaf, and our souls may be healed for things that have been troubling us forever and ever, that doesn't mean it's going to happen the way we think it's going to happen. One of the commentaries I was reading said, if you think about this cleansing of the soul, correcting whatever ills we have, he said it is like God took us back to the Garden of Eden. And I'd never really thought about that before. So just when you read that in Genesis and everything is the way God wanted it to be, and then because we are the way we are and we got off track and all the things that happen, this accepting God back into our lives, allowing that peace. So we had stories in prayer about contentment, and somebody talked about peace. And so often, I think we miss that in what God brings to us each and every day. So Friday, when I'm messing with the garage door opener, and I've pushed buttons 100 zillion times, I watched 4 different YouTube videos on how to do it, and they all lied to me, cabbage, 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 because none of them worked, okay? And so we decided since none of them worked, it must be the keypad's fault. But we don't really know, because we don't have the keypad yet. We just think that. And just like Rick gave me new batteries today, we even started out with a new battery. It still didn't work. But if we can allow God to lead us, to move us the way that God wants to move us, and we find that baby contentment and that peace that you can find through your relationship with the Lord, I don't care who you are, there's stuff that's going to go wrong. Things that break, things that don't work. We lost one of those baby squeeze pouches. We thought for sure it was in the car. I found it yesterday in the stroller. I guess after sitting in the garage for 2 days, it's probably not any good. We threw it away. But we lose stuff. We can't find stuff. And sometimes it makes us really anxious. If we can always remember what God wants to do in our lives, no matter what's going on, how anxious we are, how troubled we are, whatever word you want to use, we can find that peace and commitment through Him. So as we begin communion today, when you come forward, think about that peace and commitment that's available to all of us. That we don't have to be anxious all the time. We don't have to be worried all the time. That the Lord wants us to have that. And as long as we're open to His movement and actions, we can have that happen. So the liturgy I'm going to use today, I borrowed from a Danielle Schroyer, okay? And she calls this a communion liturgy of blessing. And if you guys would maybe just close your eyes and listen. I've just found it really peaceful when I found it. Let us gather our hearts. Our hearts are at home in God. Let us give thanks for God's unfailing love. God's love endures forever. Let every heart be lifted up. Let us prepare to receive our Christ. God of all creation, from the beginning you've made this world in love, and you've created us to live in love. We see your glory in the tender orchid, in the thunderous storm, in majestic mountains, the glittering expanse of the sea. All life is sustained by your divine breath. Who you have sent among us on the day of Pentecost, we receive in the works of your hands, as it is right and good for all of us to give thanks to you in all times and in all places with a joyful and grateful heart. And so we join our voices with angels and archangels and across the span of time and distance in the great cloud of witnesses that is your living church, a unified chorus of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All glory and honor is yours, O God, for you bring life from death, joy from suffering, and dancing from mourning. We give thanks that abundant life is made known to us and present with us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come to live and die as one of us, to reconcile all creation to life and life everlasting. By him and with him and in him, the web of your love is made whole, and we with it. Jesus gathered his disciples and said, "Remember me," and so we do. We remember that he gathered not only his friends, but even the betrayer from around a common table, sharing gifts of bread and wine, the first fruits from the earth. We remember that he offered himself to us that we may follow him beyond death into eternal love. Gather us now at your table, O God, that we may be sustained in our journey of faith. May these gifts of the earth be for us the gift of your goodness made present, made known, and grant that we may eat this feast, we may be filled with your life and goodness. As we begin this time of communion, Judy and I will be down here. In the United Methodist Church, everyone is welcome to come forward. You do not have to be a member of the church. If you have trouble coming forward, we would be happy to bring it to you. And if you want the pre-filled cups, I have some of those up here also. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, be with all as we go out into your world. Guide us and direct us, and let us see each person for what they are. The opportunity that God lives in all of us is available to all, no matter size, shape, color, how young you are, how old you are, wherever you fall, we can all be part of your family. Amen. Thank you.